began in chapter 8, and the disciples' confession of faith in the Lord Jesus. They were up in Caesarea Philippi, far to the north of Galilee, and in that pagan city, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And then he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Christ." And from that moment, Jesus began to teach them about himself, about his work, his work as a redeemer, how he must suffer and die and be raised again on the third day. And from that moment, there in Caesarea Philippi, Jesus and his disciples began a long march southward to Jerusalem and the cross. And this is one of the significant features of the way Mark organizes his gospel. During this last journey with his disciples, Jesus focuses on those disciples. This is the last opportunity that he will have on earth to prepare them for what is coming, both his death and resurrection and his ascension. And after that, the church will be in the hands of these apostles. So he has much to teach them. So from chapter 8, verse 27... through the portion we're reading today, the very end of chapter 10. This is really the conclusion of that journey to Jerusalem. And when we enter chapter 11 next week, the last week of Jesus' life in Jerusalem, leading to the cross, begins. Hear the reading of God's word, Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. The sermon I've titled "Blind Bartimaeus, the Last Disciple." Now, can anyone guess why I've called Bartimaeus the last disciple? We're disciples, aren't we? There have been many disciples of Jesus over the last 2,000 years. But why do you suppose it's proper to call Bartimaeus the last disciple? Any thoughts on that? You're all going to be shy. Okay. I'll give you my thought on that. Bartimaeus was the last one to join Jesus' band of disciples. He was the last one in Mark's gospel that is received into the company of disciples at the very end of their very last journey together. from Jericho to Jerusalem and the cross, Jesus would be with these disciples for only 8 more days. It takes about a day, a long, hard day's walk from Jericho to Jerusalem, and then begins the last week of his life on earth. So this was the last opportunity for Jesus to prepare these disciples for the work that he would entrust to them. And they had a lot to learn. The first thing they needed to learn, they needed to understand, was that their teacher had come to do something for them that was much more than just teaching. During the final weeks, as he led his disciples from Caesarea Philippi in the north down to Jerusalem, Jesus repeated 3 times in 8:31, 9:31, and 10:33 and 34, 3 times that he must suffer and die. He must die an atoning sacrifice for their sins and then be raised victoriously to life. He would give himself. He would die for them. And he must do this. So that's the first thing the disciples needed to learn, and they simply did not get it. He needed to repeat it over and over again. Secondly, if Christ must give up his life for them, the disciples also must learn to love one another with the same resolve and the same passion with which Christ had loved them. If the goal of a disciple is to become like his teacher, then these disciples must learn to serve others rather than exalting themselves. And Jesus sums up this very fundamental lesson in the immediately preceding verse, chapter 10, verses 44 and 45. "And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So these were difficult lessons that Jesus had to teach these disciples. And the time was growing short. Yet even during this last journey with his disciples, Jesus continued to call and to equip new disciples. He never gave up on those disciples, and he even added to their number. Bartimaeus is the very last of those new disciples that we see in Mark's gospel. Mark records several details about Bartimaeus that help us to understand how his heart was prepared for a life of discipleship, a life of walking with and following Christ. So we're going to be looking at Bartimaeus and how the Lord had prepared his heart to be a disciple. So we're thinking about being disciples this morning. That's kind of the key idea. There are also several things about the way Jesus handled Bartimaeus, the way he responded to Bartimaeus, that show us what Christ requires from a disciple, what Christ requires from us. So let's look at blind Bartimaeus. The man who became the last of Jesus' disciples. There are 3 things I want to note. The first is his self-awareness. Secondly, his faith in Christ. And thirdly, the gift of sight that he received. So his self-awareness, his faith in Christ, and the gift of sight he received. The first thing we observe about Bartimaeus is he understands his condition before God and man. He understands his true condition. This is the first thing that Mark tells us about Bartimaeus. There's nothing to envy in the way Bartimaeus had to spend his days. Bartimaeus is described as a blind beggar sitting by the roadside. Unable to work, deprived of education, deprived of skills and opportunity, Bartimaeus spent every single day of his life that way, sitting by the roadside, begging for his daily bread. Now, you can still see such people in many parts of the world, though not so often in the USA. Even though some of us perhaps came from very humble beginnings, compared to Bartimaeus, I'm going to make that mistake, by the way. You're going to hear me say Barnabas, when you all know we're talking about Bartimaeus. That's something up here. When you hear me say Barnabas, I want you to raise your hand, okay? And I will get it, and I will correct myself. So we're talking about Bartimaeus and not Barnabas, all right? The two bars. All right, but compared to Bartimaeus, all of us were born to a life of freedom and amazing opportunities. We all have amazing opportunities in this life, in this world, in this country, in this community. But not so Bartimaeus. He was sitting on the bottom rung of the social ladder, and he wasn't going anywhere. And he knew it. Bartimaeus is about as far removed as you could imagine from the circumstances of another would-be disciple that we see earlier in this chapter. You know the one I'm talking about? In verse 17, chapter 10, verse 17, Mark tells us about a rich young man who ran up to Jesus to ask what he must do to get eternal life. That man seemed to have everything going for him. His youth, his energy, his friends, an impeccable reputation, and of course, wealth. Money, lots of it. He had it all. Bartimaeus was on the opposite end of the spectrum. He had nothing to offer to Jesus. And he knew it. Yet it was Bartimaeus whom Jesus called. It was Bartimaeus who received his sight. It was Bartimaeus who became a disciple and who followed Jesus on the road. Mark tells us that the rich young ruler departed from Jesus, disheartened and sorrowful. Verse 22. He who had it all ended up with nothing. While Bartimaeus, who had nothing, received from the Lord Jesus all that his heart desired. Comparing these two men shows the truth of what Jesus told his disciples in verse 31. Chapter 10, verse 31. He said, "Many who are first will be last, and the last first." Some people seem to think that before they follow Christ, they must somehow make something of themselves. They must improve themselves there because they're not yet good enough to be one of his disciples. I've heard people say that. But that kind of thinking is totally backwards. Totally backwards. It's not what we can do for ourselves, what we can bring to Jesus, what we can do to gain eternal life. Not that. Jesus has not come to help people who are already pretty good and just need a little boost to get into heaven. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. As Isaiah declares in Isaiah 61:1, he came to bring good news to the poor and to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to comfort all who mourn. He gives help to the weak and the poor, to those who can do nothing to help themselves. And Bartimaeus was one of those. And he knew it. He had nothing to recommend him to Jesus. He could only beg for mercy. And so when Jesus was passing by, Bartimaeus cried out to him. And the Lord listened. He stopped and he listened. By the way, did you notice the name of the rich young ruler? I think he's universally known as, quote, the rich young ruler. Do you know his name? I don't. Nobody knows his name. Why is that? We don't know the name of that man who had it all. But we all know, even though we sometimes call him by the wrong name, we all know Bartimaeus. We know Bartimaeus because he became a disciple of Jesus. His name in Greek, Bartimaeus in Greek, means son of honor or son of value, valuable son. We know his name because he became a faithful disciple and followed Jesus. And that's what made the difference. And ironically, it's the name of Bartimaeus, the blind beggar who sat by the roadside, that has been honored and remembered for 2,000 years. While the name of, what's his name? The rich young ruler has just fallen into obscurity. Nobody knows. So the circumstances of a person, no matter how ordinary, no matter how miserable they may be, those circumstances do not disqualify anyone from following Christ. And on the other hand, nothing that you may have, nothing that that wealthy, privileged, rich young ruler possessed could help him to walk with Jesus or bring him any closer to eternal life. Like the lukewarm church members in Laodicea, he thought to himself, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing. And he could not see himself as God saw him. Wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. He could not see himself because he didn't have the eyes to see his spiritual condition before God, to see his need of God's mercy and grace. So the first thing this passage teaches about discipleship is that what the world values, as my grandmother used to say, doesn't amount to a hill of beans with Jesus. What the world seeks means nothing as far as Jesus and eternal life is concerned. He wants us to know ourselves as we really are, in desperate need of his mercy. The next thing we need to observe about Bartimaeus is perhaps even more important. Then he knew himself. He saw himself as he truly was. But the next thing is really outstanding about Bartimaeus and has to be found in every true disciple. And that is faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. Jesus says to Bartimaeus in verse 52, go your way, your faith has made you well. Now, how can we recognize true faith when we see it? Bartimaeus shows us his faith in several ways. First of all, true faith. We have to understand what true faith is. Faith is a faith that will actually make a difference. Faith that can make you well is faith in a true God. Faith in the true God. Faith in an idol. Faith in a false God or false religion cannot help you. No matter how sincere your faith may be, it will not help you. Because it is faith in the wrong object. The Greek, faith in a person, faith in an ideal may be a very fine thing. But faith in a person or an ideal cannot make you well. The Greek word that's used here, translated make you well, is the verb sozo, which is usually translated to save. To save. The word savior and salvation are forms of this Greek word. The faith that Jesus is talking about, I think, is something deeper than the sort of faith that some faith healers promote. True faith is not some kind of psychological experience. It's not an ecstatic feeling or a conviction that one has been healed. What Jesus is saying is that Bartimaeus' faith is true saving faith. Faith that can bring him to God. It's faith in the true God. And because his faith is faith in God, for whom nothing is impossible, God has granted his desire and restored his sight. Because his faith is in God. So Bartimaeus' faith is not faith that he will be healed, but faith that becomes the channel of God's full salvation. A salvation that will heal both his body and his soul. It's the same sort of faith that we read about in Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. And that is the faith that Jesus sees in Barnabas. Bartimaeus, come on, get those hands up. Bartimaeus. Now, how do we know that Bartimaeus has this saving faith? Of course, Jesus tells us, but there are several other indications of his faith. First, notice that when Jesus of Nazareth passes by on the road, Bartimaeus cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." This is the first time in Mark's gospel, if you have been following this carefully, this is the very first time in Mark's gospel that anyone has called Jesus Son of David. Although before long, many people will be shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David," when they arrive in Jerusalem. The Jews all knew that the title Son of David belonged only to the Messiah. The Son of David was the Messianic King, the one anointed by God to save his people. Bartimaeus was convinced that this Jesus of Nazareth was God's Messiah. He is the Christ. So Bartimaeus was confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, just as Simon Peter and the other apostles had confessed it when they were up north in Caesarea Philippi. But unlike those other 12, Bartimaeus proclaims his faith in a public and a persistent manner. before a whole crowd of pilgrims who were also on their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. So there were many, many people who were walking along with them. They weren't disciples of Jesus, but they were just on their way on the same narrow road from Jericho to Jerusalem. And many in that crowd told Bartimaeus to be quiet. Be still. And they probably used rougher words than that. But we don't want younger ones in the group hearing adults telling others to shout. But that's what they were shouting. Be quiet. Why? Well, it was probably because of the political danger of using that title, Son of David. They could all get in very, very big trouble if his shouting carried as far as the Roman garrison in Jericho. If the Romans got wind that there was a big crowd of people and one in the middle was called the Son of David, and they were marching to Jerusalem, they would all be rounded up. Probably never heard from again. It was a risk. But Bartimaeus would not be silent, no matter what the risk was. He cried out all the more, all the louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. You know, Bartimaeus wasn't crying out to all the passers-by for the mercy of a few alms. That's what any beggar would do. Everyone passing by, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. That's not what Bartimaeus was crying out. He was calling out to Jesus, and only to Jesus. And he was crying out for more than money. He was asking Jesus for something that only God could give. He was asking Jesus for the restoration of his sight. It was a huge thing that Bartimaeus was asking. But, you know, the prophet Isaiah long ago had said that when the Messiah comes, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Isaiah 35, verse 5. All of these details, his recognition, Bartimaeus' recognition that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of David, his persistence in calling on Jesus despite the efforts of many to quiet him, and his bold request for the restoration of his sight, all of these things showed that the blind Bartimaeus was a man of real saving faith. But there's a third thing about Bartimaeus we should note, and that is, what does he do when he receives what he really desperately wants? He receives the mercy of the Lord and the gift of his sight restored. Bartimaeus didn't become a real disciple of Jesus until that vision had been restored. A disciple means one who follows Jesus. And you might say, of course, he couldn't get up and follow Jesus until he could see and walk with Jesus. And some people may feel that, but I think there's more to it than that. Bartimaeus did not really become a true disciple until he had eyes to see the world and God's world in a clear way. Now, Jesus often uses blindness as a metaphor for ignorance, particularly ignorance of spiritual realities. For example, in Mark 8, verse 17, when his disciples couldn't understand his warnings about the evil influence of the Pharisees and the Herodians, Jesus said to them, Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? You see, the work of Christ as teacher is to open the unseeing eyes of his disciples so that they will see, so that they will understand the spiritual realities of God and his kingdom. When Jesus gave sight to Bartimaeus, it signified the ability to see and perceive the truths that he has been teaching them about the kingdom and the power of the unseen God. And Bartimaeus saw, after he received his sight, he saw everything clearly and in a new way. And what does he do? What did Barnabas do? Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." Interesting. He doesn't say, "Get up and follow me." He says, "Go your way, Bartimaeus. Your faith has made you well." Jesus gave Bartimaeus the freedom to choose his own path. The freedom for the first time. We don't know if Bartimaeus was born blind or if he had become blind at some point in his life through accident or injury or sickness. But he had been blind for a very long time. And for the first time, he could see. For the first time, he had opportunities. For the first time, he had freedom to choose his path, to choose what he would become and where he would go. All that Bartimaeus had missed out on during all those years he had been a blind beggar sitting by the road, all of those things were now spread out before him, beckoning to him. What would he do first? Well, what would you do if you were in his place? If you were suddenly released from the darkness, set free from your chains, and all the world beckoned to you, what would you do? Jesus had told him, "Go your way." But what did Bartimaeus do? Where did he go? Mark tells us in verse 52. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Bartimaeus did not hesitate. Because compared to every other opportunity he saw around him, every other path that he could now see clearly and he could choose for himself, nothing out there seemed as important or as good or as desirable as following Jesus and being close to him and learning from him. And so that is what he did. Bartimaeus followed Jesus. That's what Bartimaeus did with the vision that Jesus gave to him. He set his eyes on the kingdom of God and he followed Christ on that long uphill road to Jerusalem. Because that is the path of discipleship. In Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, we see the mercy of the Lord Jesus transform one of the lowest of the low into a true and faithful disciple. And we see how real saving faith is manifested in the life of Bartimaeus. And we also see how Christ opened the eyes of a blind man to see the wonderful realities of his kingdom. But there's more we can learn about being a disciple if we observe how Jesus deals with Bartimaeus. And I'm just going to go over these briefly, but changing our focus from Bartimaeus for a moment to Jesus. Looking at Jesus and how Jesus dealt with Bartimaeus, we can learn important things about being a disciple. First, we notice that Jesus listens to a blind beggar who cries out to Jesus for mercy. The point here is that Christ is never so preoccupied with more important things or more important people that he will not take time to hear us when we call on him. His ears are attentive to our pleas for mercy. And David sings of this in Psalm 17, verse 6. I call upon you, why? For you will hear me. It's not in vain. God hears us when we cry out to him, seeking his grace and his mercy. Again, in Psalm 77, verse 1, I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. And the psalm is full of this kind of experience. God hears when we cry. So when Bartimaeus cried out to the Lord as he was passing by, surrounded by his disciples and a great crowd of other pilgrims, Jesus did not ignore that blind beggar sitting by the side of the road. He stopped. He listened. And the point here is that he wants us to cry out to him for his mercy and his grace, for his help every day. If only we will call to him, he will hear us. He will send relief. Our prayers are not in vain. But before Jesus granted Bartimaeus his request, something else interesting happened. He told his followers to summon the blind beggar. Call the blind beggar. And this is the second thing we notice in how Jesus deals with disciples. He asks us to exercise our faith in obedience to him. Now, you might think it would have been far easier for Jesus to make his way over to the roadside to come to Bartimaeus. A lot easier for Jesus to go to him than for the blind beggar sitting by the roadside to get up and make his way through the crowd to Jesus. So why did Jesus ask Bartimaeus to come to him? I think it was to give Bartimaeus a foretaste of what the life of a disciple is like. Being a disciple means walking by faith. It takes effort to obey. Sometimes you can't really see so clearly how to get through the crowd and around the obstacles to get to where you need to go. But you have his word. You have his call to listen, to obey. And that's what Bartimaeus had. He is calling to you. Take heart. Will you merely say that you believe the Lord Jesus, or will you do what he calls you to do, even if the road seems a lot harder than you expected? A disciple must act on his faith. And that's what Bartimaeus did. He acted in obedience. And verse 50 says, and throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Mark's description just demonstrates how eager, how earnest Bartimaeus was to obey his Lord. And that's the sort of obedience that Christ wants to see in us when he calls us to follow. There's no foot dragging with Bartimaeus. Finally, Jesus demonstrates the attitude that he requires from his disciples. He demonstrates the attitude that a disciple must have when he asks Bartimaeus in verse 51, what do you want me to do for you? You know, Jesus never asks any disciple to attempt what he would not do himself. He had just taught them that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now he shows them an example of what he means. What do you want me to do for you? If the Lord Jesus is willing to take the form of a servant, to do for his disciples what they cannot do for themselves, how much more should we who follow him humble ourselves to do what God wants us to do, to do whatever we can to serve others, even if the others are as insignificant as this poor blind beggar Bartimaeus, even if the others are unlikable, even if the others that we are called to serve have hurt us or even lorded it over us. Christ expects much from his disciples, but no more than he has already done for us. Paul wrote to the Philippian church, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Have this mind among yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant." You see, Jesus placed himself at the disposal of a blind beggar to show us how we should serve others as his disciples. Well, Bartimaeus was the last one to become a disciple of Jesus. And as they left Jericho, the disciples followed Jesus on a long uphill climb. They rose over 3,400 feet. You know, the Dead Sea, I believe, is the lowest spot on earth, topographically. It's hundreds of feet below sea level. And if there was ever a channel cut from the Mediterranean Sea through the mountains, that would probably become one of the largest lakes in the world. From the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea, it would just fill up, probably greater than Lake Superior in size. Huge lake. It was a very, very low place where Jericho was located, and they climbed over 3,400 feet along a winding uphill road to Jerusalem. And after they arrived in Jerusalem, Jesus would be with them only another week before he was betrayed by one of his disciples. And he would suffer all that he had predicted. He would be publicly humiliated, beaten, nailed to a cross, and die the death of a despised criminal. He would be buried in a sealed tomb, but after 3 days, he would rise again. What happened to Bartimaeus, we don't know. We don't know. He's not named again in any of the Gospels, but his name has never been forgotten. The church knew him, and he has been honored all these years because by faith he cried out to Christ. He obeyed his call, and he received the gift of sight. And more than that, he used that new sight to follow Christ. Bartimaeus, the blind beggar sitting by the roadside, became a true son of honor in God's kingdom. He learned from Jesus to walk by faith, to serve without holding back. And at the end of the road, he found the treasure in heaven that rich young ruler had missed. That treasure of heaven Jesus promises to everyone who will follow him faithfully. Nothing kept Barnabas from following Jesus on that path to eternal life. There was nothing lukewarm, nothing half-hearted about Barnabas. What about you? What about us? What kind of disciples are we? Isaiah said, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Have you called on the name of the Lord? Have you sought his mercy, his grace? Will you follow him, learn from him, obey him? May the Lord give you eyes to see and ears to hear the wonderful things that God has prepared for all who follow Christ Jesus. And if you have eyes to see, then follow. Get up. Don't drag your feet. Don't be lukewarm. Follow. Obey. Do what he asks you to do. Little or big. It won't be lost. It won't be in vain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life of Bartimaeus, the blind beggar.